Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, standing tall. Do you feel like people are pushing you around? Are you struggling to stand up for yourself? We're going to help you stand tall. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about assertiveness on our show titled Standing Tall. You know, we all sometimes feel like the people in our lives are taking advantage. And sometimes they do it unwittingly. Sometimes they're pretty upfront about doing it on purpose. Right? maybe you feel like other people are disregarding your needs or ignoring your concerns. Maybe you're struggling with getting others to hear you or take you seriously. Maybe you need to learn to assert yourself more gracefully or learn to set appropriate boundaries with people, and you're not sure what that even looks like. Well, let us help you stand tall and be that graceful son or daughter of God. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you're usually a very confident person. You have no trouble asserting yourself, but there's that one person or group of people who just know how to make you feel like you lost your power, like you don't know what to say when you're around them, that you don't know how to handle them because of just something about the way they do or say things. And you're thinking, I'm competent with everybody else except my parents, my siblings, that particular group at church or at work, that particular adult kid of mine. The rest are fine, but that one just leaves me stymied, and I don't know how to be myself, be effective around that person. Well, we're here to help you figure that out so you can be the grace-filled child of God you're meant to be, even around that person or group of people.
877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll help you stand tall. Now, the one thing about this, about assertiveness in particular, is that Christians, I think, have a complicated relationship with assertiveness. You know, on the one hand, we like the idea. On the other hand, I think we feel a little guilty about being assertive.
Well, especially when we hear scriptures like, blessed are the meek. We don't know what that means. We don't know how to work it out. And we feel like it's holier.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I hadn't expected you to say that. But in mentioning it, you know, in my book, The Beatitudes, I look at each of these Beatitudes in light of fatherhood. But in particular, that blessed are the meek, in the Greek, the word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have been told by people who are, that meek in Greek is the word praus, which is a word that refers to a well-trained warhorse. So, you know, a warhorse who is not easily spooked in battle, who is responsive to its rider's commands. You know, so when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, he doesn't mean, you know, sort of a retiring violet. He means a person who is able to go into battle and hear the commands of the Holy Spirit and respond promptly and do what needs to be done, which is that assertiveness that we're talking about, really.
Because a well-trained warhorse trusts completely its rider. The soldier that is going to lead it and cherishes it, right? There's no soldier in a cavalry position that would ever take any risk with that amazing horse that's there to protect it, to guide it, to get it through the battle. Together, those two are a team. And when we trust God, who is the one who leads us and guides us, we can go into battle for virtue, for God, for glory of God, for standing up for other people's good as well as our own. So often, you know, when we look at the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we hear things like admonish the sinner, and we're thinking, I can't do that. That's just so inappropriate. But when we're, as you're saying, that kind of meek, where we take our lead from God, that changes everything.
And then dive into the battle mm-hmm. confidently, knowing that he will guide us through. You know, assertiveness is different from aggression or passivity,
which is very important in this day and age because they get very muddled up.
Yeah, so aggressive people will push their needs without any regard for others. Passive people attend to others' needs without any regard to their own. Assertive people are able to find the balance between those two extremes. And in fact, research shows that assertive people have 5 skills, and we've talked about these skills previously on the program. But number one, assertive people are aware of what they're feeling in the middle of a difficult situation, so they're attuned to their needs and their feelings. Secondly, they trust that their needs and feelings and ideas are valid and worthy of expression. Thirdly, they know how to manage their feelings well and put them into words in respectful ways. Fourthly, they understand the other people or the other person involved. They imagine how the other person feels and why. So they really work hard while they're aware of their own feelings and needs and ideas to be aware of the feelings and needs and ideas of the people around them. And then finally, they take into account the situation and the setting. So in other words, they're able to say, look, this is what I need or what I want or what's important to me or what my concern is. But they assert it in a way that's respectful of the needs and concerns of others and appropriate to the situation and setting that they're in. And that's what assertiveness is really all about. It's not about bullying your way through things and telling people how it's going to be. That's aggressive. And it's not about always deferring to everyone else. That's passive. Assertive allows you to both be generous to others while at the same time get your own needs met. 877-573-7825. Are you feeling kind of run over? Maybe like the people in your life are sometimes taking advantage of you, either unwittingly or on purpose. Maybe you feel like other people disregard your needs or ignore your concerns. Maybe you're struggling with getting other people to hear you or take you seriously. Or do you wonder how and when to set appropriate boundaries with folks? We want to help you do all that and more. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Or if there's just that person or a group of people, so it's your in-laws or your ex or somebody in your, that sister who always has that one up on you.
Your kid. I mean, whether that's an adult kid or a small kid. I mean, sometimes, you know, parents really struggle with knowing what it means to be assertive with their kids because, you know, we either feel like we have to kind of rule over them or kind of roll under them.
Suddenly they do something and we feel like we're four and have no power. No matter what it is or who it is in your life that's making you feel less than great right now, we're here to help you with it. And if you heard these steps that Greg is talking about here, these 5 skills that assertive, healthfully assertive people have, and you're thinking, oh, no. I get into a situation and suddenly I don't know what my feelings are because I just feel flooded and I don't really know how I feel till after I've left that situation or even days later when I've had time to sort it out. I don't really trust my feelings in different situations or don't feel like I can put them into words well, or I really get so flooded I can't really think of what the other person's feeling because I'm just so stymied by what they were putting me through. Any of those things. We're here to get you brand new skills today, closer to the grace of God, so that when you go back into a situation like that, and it will happen again, you'll have a brand new way, a grace-filled way of dealing with it that gives glory to God and helps you feel more successful in the situation. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
For that matter, if someone you care about is struggling to be assertive in a situation, you know, with their spouse, with, you know, whoever, you know, and you really want to help them, and you're not sure how, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Of course, as we talk about this, this show draws both from good research in contemporary psychology, but roots its understanding of all of that in the teachings of St. John Paul's theology of the body.
It really does. And today we realize that we're called to be generous to others and to say yes to opportunities of being of service. But that doesn't mean we don't have a right to have our needs met as well. The theology of the body reminds us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Saint Bonaventure taught that the Trinity is like an overflowing water wheel made up of three buckets, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are constantly pouring themselves out, but never running dry, because the other two are constantly filling them back up again. Since we're made in the image of the Trinity, human relationships are supposed to be like that, too.
I love that image of the Trinity, of those three buckets on that water wheel constantly emptying themselves but never running dry because the other two are filling them up. I love the way you put it, and I love that image. Because assertiveness, then, is the virtue that allows us to pour ourselves out for others while still making sure we never run dry or feel used. You know, this principle of mutual self-giving that the theology of the body teaches assumes that in godly relationships, all the people involved are going to be equally committed to meeting each other's needs, even when it requires them to grow or make sacrifices for each other. Assertiveness, healthy Christian assertiveness, allows us to achieve this mutual self-giving by seeking a healthy balance between meeting our own needs and being attuned to the needs of others. Just like that water wheel that St. Bonaventure said the Trinity represented. Assertiveness enables us to see ourselves not as vending machines that exist solely to be used up by others, but really as persons who have gifts to give, but who also have a God-given right to be loved and treated with dignity. And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, how can you be gracefully assertive? How can you find ways to make your needs known, express your concerns, address the problems that are important to you, set the boundaries that need to be set in a way that is charitable, that is graceful, that is effective? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we praise you, for we are made in your image and likeness, in the image and likeness of the Trinity. Help us to build relationships that reflect that image that St. Bonaventure taught us about your own very life, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being that water wheel of three buckets that are always pouring themselves out, but never running dry because they're constantly being filled up by the other two. Help us to have the grace and wisdom and fortitude and all the virtues that we need to build relationships that allow us to pour ourselves out for the good of others while never running dry because of the generosity and concern of the people that love us as well. Help us to work to have those healthy boundaries, to have those healthy relationships, to have that healthy sense of self that allows us to use our gifts to bless others while also knowing how to receive from others, just as you, God, do in your very own heart, in your Trinity. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We are taking your calls today about assertiveness on our show titled Standing Tall. Do you feel like people are pushing you around? Maybe you're struggling to stand up for yourself, to set a boundary that needs to be set, or to just be heard about a concern you're trying to express, a need you're trying to meet. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. I have an adult daughter who's in her 30s, and she has a daughter, my granddaughter. And I have been watching my granddaughter while my daughter works since last May when I retired. And even before that and continuing today, my daughter is very hateful toward me, ingratitude. No matter how much I do for her, she's always wanting more or it's never enough. She's very critical of me. She manipulates me. And I'm not the only one who notices this. My other daughter actually this week said to me, Mom, you need to do something about this.
So give us an example, first of all, and then how have you tried to address this problem so far?
Well, my daughter is an RN. She works 12-hour shifts. With drive time, I'm watching my granddaughter 14-hour days. Mm-hmm. And I have attempted to tell her this is too much for me. And, you know, then she'll, on her days off, want me to watch my granddaughter so she can, you know, have some time for herself. And I can't do that. And so she'll get angry with me, and I will just reiterate to her that, you know, if I wasn't watching her all these hours that you're working, I would be able and happy to help you have some time to yourself on your days off. And it's just, she'll say, I'm selfish. I don't love her. And I'm really afraid to address it further because I don't want her to use my granddaughter as a means of manipulating me.
Well, she kind of already is.
And
she knows it. And so, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I think that, number one, she needs you at this point, right? Which, and I hate to put it in these sort of mercenary terms, but she needs you, and that gives you some power.
The only reason you are is because her daughter is working on that platform. So when you're working with somebody on that platform, sometimes, not always, you need to be playing from the same chessboard.
Yeah, I mean, if she had somebody else to take her daughter to, she'd be doing it, right? So she needs you, which gives you the power to say, look, I love you, and I'm happy to watch your daughter in these times, and I'd be happy to make a plan for you with you for other times. But number one, in order to do that, I need you to be respectful and appropriate with me. And number two, I need you to understand, to be willing to work with me on this. And if you're not, then I can't watch her during those times, the outside of those times. This is kind of the way it is. You have to be direct and assertive about this, and not be, because, you know, when you say, you know, she has always been mean or spiteful or ungrateful, you know, we parents teach our kids how to behave. And, you know, your inability to stand up effectively to her when she is like this is just rewarding this. And to love somebody means to work for their good, right? And so, you know, if you love somebody and you want to work for their good, that at least means not letting them act like a jerk, right? And so you can't let your daughter, who has a daughter, act like a jerk around your daughter. You know, so the best way to do that is to say, listen, I love you, and I am happy to watch my granddaughter. I love her so much, and I want to be here for you. But your anger and your ingratitude and your disrespect is really off the charts, and it needs to change. And number two, here's when I can watch her, and here's when I can't. And I'm willing to make a plan with you for the times that I can't be available. I'm willing to try to work with you on that, but I can't have you lashing out at me. So this is, you know, this is when I can watch her, and that's just the way it's going to be for moving forward.
Well, and honestly, I wouldn't make a plan for the times that you couldn't watch her. That's up to your daughter to begin to figure that out for herself. Because you're saying, I am a person. I am a person who needs to be respected and who has needs of my own. Here are the times that I can watch her.
My point in saying that was that if she can approach you respectfully, you'd be willing to sit down with her and work things out.
Oh, yeah, but it would change everything if she could work with you respectfully.
That's all I meant by that. But I agree with you, Lisa, that if she's going to be disrespectful and mean and whatever, then you have the right to say, well, then I need you to figure that out for what those other times are. But this is when I'm available. From here to here, boom, that's
truly,
it.
Truly, Teresa, you're allowed to have a life. You're allowed to have peace and joy and rest. And it's wonderful that you're there for your granddaughter. But this is not as though, God forbid, something happened to your daughter and you inherited your granddaughter. In which case, you would have full ability to work on your own schedule. This is her taking advantage of you and not being grateful at all. And she needs to really have an adjustment here.
It's not loving for you to indulge her this way.
No.
We got to go to break, but thank you for the call, Teresa. We do talk more about these kinds of things, and God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. It's our book on setting charitable boundaries that hopefully will heal the relationship, but at least keep you out of the drama. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break, but when we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Sue Muldoon, who's going to be sharing some other insights on setting appropriate boundaries and being assertive as a Christian person. Stick around.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about assertiveness. Joining us right now, Sue Muldoon. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. Together with her husband, Tim, she's the author of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time, and she's here to talk to us about Christian approaches to assertiveness. Hey, Sue, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Greg and Lisa.
So let's talk about this. How does our understanding of who God is inform how we relate to each other in healthy and balanced ways?
Well, there's many ways, but I can focus on two this morning. One is that we recognize that God is truth. And keeping that in mind, anything that's a reflection of God will also be a reflection of the truth.
The other is that, you know, God in himself, you made reference to this earlier about how the Trinity is a reflection of relationship within each other and how we can live in respectful harmony with the role that we each have in our relationships. So an assertive approach to communication speaks directly and honestly to my thoughts, my feelings, and the needs that I have. So we're really focusing on what is true about ourselves and what is true about our needs. And then we also listen with openness and respect to valuing the other's thoughts, feelings, and needs. And so when I'm less than honest about what's true about my perspective, I diminish my respect for myself, and then I also diminish my respect for the fact that the other person is able to value and honor what's true about me. And so a lack of imbalance in this always leads to a lack of health in our communication, because it deflects from the truth. If I'm not able to say this is true about me and I'm really willing to listen to and honor what's true about you.
You know, it sounds to me like that's really a way that another way that the truth sets us free, that by honoring
Absolutely.
Sort of the truth that we have about our own needs and feelings and wants and desires, and acknowledging the truth that is in the other person, we work together to find a solution that addresses both of those truths instead of attempting to just deny one or the other's truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes we think we are helping the other person by putting their needs first. And there can, again, be times where that is in a short period would be the focus. But in the balance of a relationship, if we feel like we're not able to allow them to know what is true about us, inevitably it will lead to, as you mentioned earlier, being passive, which doesn't allow for healthy communication.
Sue, thank you so much for being with us. I'm sorry, Sue, I got to jump in, but thank you for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls about assertiveness here on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
This is the fasting that I wish: release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, break every yoke, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. It irks me when people say, well, those are social justice things. What do you mean? It's one of those weasel words. This doesn't have to do with sinful institutional structures. These commandments have to do with personal behavior. So when you begin to say that these are social justice issues, you're really kind of evading Isaiah's point, or God's point through Isaiah, which is, no, I expect you to be setting the oppressed free, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, and, you know, that's for you to do. Don't expect your government to do it. Don't even necessarily expect your church to do it. It's expected that you will do it.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to learn your spouse's love style, the style that your spouse likes to give and receive love in. People with a visual love style need to see that you love them. Tangible tokens of affection, such as flowers and gifts, mean the world to them because they can see the thought you put into them. People with an auditory love style love to feel through their ears. They love to have long conversations, hearing I love you and hearing praises. Finally, people with a kinesthetic or touch-oriented love style need to feel how much you love them through affection and acts of service. Just being there is very important to this type of person. Which love style best fits you? which best fits your spouse. Today, take the time to think of how your spouse will best receive love from you, and then act on that. For more on maintaining a happy, healthy, lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is on assertiveness. It's titled Standing Tall, and we're talking about how Christians can appropriately stand up for ourselves. You know, how do we prevent the people in our lives from taking advantage of us? How do we, you know, make sure that our needs are being addressed even while we're being generous to others? You know, the image that we used at the top of the show was from Saint Bonaventure. The theology of the body and scripture reminds us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Well, how does God relate to each other? How does Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to each other? Saint Bonaventure said that the Trinity is like an overflowing fountain of love that's made up of three water wheels, or rather three buckets on a water wheel. And each bucket is constantly pouring itself out completely, but it never runs dry because the other two buckets fill it back up again. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always pouring themselves out, but never running dry, always full of love. And that's the model for our healthy, holy human relationships. We pour ourselves out to work for the good of others, but we have a right, a God-given right, to expect that the people who love us will fill up our bucket too. Assertiveness is the virtue that allows us to make sure that those buckets never run dry so we can keep giving generously to others.
Well, you know who is really great at assertiveness? Because there are a lot of our listeners who are like, maybe assertiveness isn't holy. I can prove to you it's holy. Mother Angelica, whose 98th birthday would be today.
Happy birthday, Mother Angelica.
We love you so much. And boy, was she assertive. She was assertive, not for herself, but for God's will. She listened to him. She consulted him. And then she went out and she got stuff done. And you are listening to Catholic Radio today and get to watch EWTN TV because of Mother Angelica's assertiveness. And she never went out of her way to do anything because she wanted it. She knew what God's will was in her life, and she went out and she did what he wanted her to do and expected him to show up and help make it happen.
Said what God wanted her to say.
Exactly. And never was... you know, cowering in any way to say, oh, well, maybe people won't like it. Maybe I'll upset this person or that person. No, as long as she was consulting the Holy Spirit, she did what she had to do. And I'm told that we have a brand new debut of a new Mother Angelica radio program tonight at 8:00 Eastern. Mother Angelica answering the call. And I know I'm going to be listening to that because there's about an hour. I listen to, you know, EWTN radio on Sirius most of the time that I'm out running my errands or taking our daughter to her theater classes. And there's about an hour where things in Pittsburgh, where I have to be on Tuesday nights, everything's closed. Everything closes early still because of COVID regulations. And I'm just sitting in a parking lot from 8 to 9. And that's when I tune in and get to hear Mother's voice still. And to this day, everything that she has ever said is relevant. And I sort of sit there staring at my radio saying, oh my goodness, like the Holy Spirit is constant and things do not change in terms of what God is asking us to live for and how to live. And she makes that so clear. So brand new tonight at 8:00 Eastern, Mother Angelica answering the call, and you can listen to her.
What a great
example of how to be assertive for God, which is what we're talking about today here on More to Life. Again, happy birthday, Mother Angelica.
With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Let's go to Brigitte, who is listening in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Brigitte, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can. Go for it.
Great. So I'm trying to be assertive in my marriage. We were married last year, dated about a decade before. We both had some health issues upon entering marriage, diabetes. My husband had diabetes and high blood pressure. I had high blood pressure. And I said, you know, when other for us to be married, we also have to have intimacy in the marriage, which was kind of lacking for a bit in the latter years. So we both agreed to lose weight. Well, long story short, I lost my weight. I'm extremely healthy now. My husband is still the same weight, and we have not consummated our marriage. And I've tried to be very assertive with him and say, you know, this is part of a normal marriage, is intimacy, and got him to the doctor, and it's like, so he's like, I'm really going to try. And then he's like, well, I'm just so over having sex anymore. I'm too old. And I was like,
He was physically able to have a relationship with someone, you or somebody else, before the marriage. You've gotten married now, and nothing is going on. You haven't even consummated your marriage. And he's saying he's physically unable, but he's also saying he's not interested. Is that what you're saying to us?
So I get mixed messages. Oh, I listen to this TV show, and I'm going to do all these things. And I said, look, all we have to do is lose some weight, and you're going to be fine. You know, that's what the urologist says. So.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to ask, at this point, is he physically capable of consummating the marriage?
No.
He's not physically capable?
Not,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried a handful of times, and it's just...
And it doesn't work. Okay.
Working.
And he needs to lose weight. All right. So here's the thing, Brigitte. And this is surprising for a lot of people. But you know how there is, you know, natural stuff that makes up the sac of a sacrament, right? And without that stuff, you can't have a sacrament, right? So, for example, if you don't have water, you can't have baptism, right? Or if you don't have bread and wine, you can't have Eucharist. Well, if you don't have physical marital intimacy, you can't have a marriage, because that physical sign is supposed to be a sign of the spiritual union that exists not only between a man and woman, but exists between Christ and his church, the bride and the bridegroom. You know, and so marriage is more than just what you know, what we want it to be. It's meant to be a spiritual sign of a supernatural reality as well. And, you know, two people can be very good friends, but that doesn't mean that they're married. You know, it's that physical union that gives witness to spiritual communion. And without that, you're not actually married, right? You know, so when you get married in the church, what you're doing is that the priest is actually the witness of the ceremony, but the couple are the celebrants of the sacrament. And the celebration of the sacrament happens after the wedding vows are exchanged, and the couple goes off by themselves and makes love and experiences that physical union. And so what's happened is you've exchanged vows, but you actually are not married because the relationship has not yet been consummated. And so I would encourage you to kind of challenge him directly on this, that you really aren't married in the eyes of the church at all at this point and for the last year. And it's not about what he feels like doing. It's about what he's promised to do, to be a physical sign with you of the love and the passion that Christ exhibits for his bride, the church. When we get married... You know, this is something we talk about in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, in the very first chapter. Because, you know, in this day and age, we all kind of think that marriage means what we say it means. But the Catholic Church is very specific. You know, we don't get to write our own vows when we get married in the Catholic Church. Well, why is that? Because what we're really saying when we get married in the church is not, hey, I've created this relationship and I need you guys to rubber stamp it for me. What we're saying is, you know what? I feel love for this person. I have love in my heart for this person. But I don't know how to love them, especially not the way God wants me to love them. And I am promising before God and the whole church that I'm standing up in front of that I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting over my bad self and learning how to love you the way God wants me to love you, and be loved by you the way God wants me to be loved by you. And a big part of that is learning how to use our bodies appropriately to express love to each other fully. And that's what we're promising in marriage. So we don't get to say, You know, when your husband or when your fiance still says, you know, I'm too old for this and I don't want to, it's not up to him. He's promised God and the whole church to do what is necessary to be that physical sign of love and to be healthy and holy. That is what he has promised. And he is going to be held accountable to God and the church for those promises. It's not just, oh, I don't feel like doing this. It's, you know what, this is really hard. But I have made a commitment to be this healthy, holy person for you and for God and the world. And the sacrament is meant to help you do exactly that. And so I would really encourage you, number one, to challenge him directly with what I'm sharing with you. In fact, you could download the podcast later on at AveMariaRadio.net and play it for him. I'd encourage you to read through both For Better Forever and Holy Sex together. And I would encourage you to seek marital counseling. Because he needs new skills and new tools to be able to get past this very big hurdle in his life so that he can be the husband that God is calling him to be and you can have the marriage that God wants you to have.
Additionally, Rashid, I have to say that what I'm hearing about the language he's using with you says that somewhere along the line, he adopted a mindset that sexual intimacy is an activity. And he had enough of that before he was married, and he's tired, and he's overweight, and he's whatever, and he's making excuses. And often, and I have to say this is not talked about very often, often when people shift from a worldly mindset about their sexuality to an actual sacramental marriage, it's very difficult to make that jump. Suddenly we think of all these things that, you know, occurred in our pre-marriage life, and how can we possibly bring this into a marriage with somebody we love that's supposed to be sacramental, and we get confused, which is one of the reasons that Holy Sex was written, that my husband wrote that book, and it's a great book to really go through. I would encourage you both to go to confession if you haven't gone already about your pre-marital relationships, because when we live in a worldly way with our sexuality, we're told all sorts of lies about it being an activity, about it being just something we do when we feel like it, or when we're just attracted to somebody, or on and on and on. And it's all lies. And it really poisons the sacramental nature of our sexual relationship in a way that makes us spiritually and psychologically kind of tripping over ourselves, unable to really comprehend that this is not an activity. This is a statement of and a renewal of our marriage vows each and every single time this happens between a sacramentally married husband and wife. And it brings it to a level of holiness that's amazing when we can wrap our heads around that. We can only really wrap our heads around that when we have gone to confession and been cleansed of those old ideas and those old sinful experiences.
I would also suggest, and again, I really want you to download the podcast and listen to it together, but your husband at the very least is committing the sin of sloth, which is the sin not of laziness, but the sin of not responding in a just way to the challenges in front of us. If I see a problem, if I see a challenge and it's within my power to do something about it, I have a responsibility to do something about it. And if I refuse to, if I just say, oh, I don't feel like it, that's sloth. And that is how we tear down the kingdom of God. And that is why it's one of the deadly sins. Gluttony might be another issue here as well, where he's choosing his own comforts, not just in food, but his own comforts over love, which is another deadly sin. So, you know, there are a lot of spiritual and psychological problems here that need to be addressed. I want you to identify them directly by downloading the podcast, listening to this together. I'd like you to start working through For Better Forever and Holy Sex together, my books that you can get at CatholicCounselors.com. And I'd like you to get some professional help, because clearly he needs some tools to heal some wounds here that are getting in the way of the grace flowing in this relationship. But again, without that marital intimacy having happened, you don't actually have a marriage. So that is the stuff of a holy sacramental marriage. Thanks for the call, Brigitte, and we will certainly add you to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to specifically help you through our counseling practice, please look up the resources I mentioned, For Better Forever, Holy Sex, and more about our counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825. We're talking about assertiveness today on More to Life. How is a Christian person called to be assertive? What does that actually look like?
in the Christian walk. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15.
Let us no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind. Instead, speak the truth in love, so that we may grow up in every way into Christ our head.
Powerful reminder of the importance of assertiveness, to speak the truth in love, to do what is right and good, even if it sometimes displeases the people around us. As St. John Vianney pointed out, God and the angels are our audience. They are the only ones that we need to worry about pleasing. So let's get about that. And assertiveness allows us to do that. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're taking your calls about assertiveness today on our show titled Standing Tall. Are you struggling to stand up for yourself in a healthy, appropriate, graceful way? We want to help you do it. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Hear me okay?
Yeah, what's your question, Karen?
So I accidentally, unbeknownst to me, didn't request it, received a spreadsheet that had our entire company's salary listed on it. I am recently newly in charge of the medical benefits, and I needed the census, which is just name, address, date of birth, zip code, that kind of thing, to provide to the carrier. Mm-hmm. And the person that sent it to me sent me that information, but accidentally sent me additional information in the spreadsheet, data hire, and salary.
Okay.
And I've been with the company for 16 years and was a little shocked to see how underpaid I am. And I'm a very senior staff person. I don't even know how to handle it. I don't know what to say. I know I'm due for a raise, but I don't know how to go about doing it.
Okay, great question, and thank you. Yeah, perfect for the show. So, you know, the one thing I would not do
okay, is go and say, you know, it's not fair that these other people are paid more than I am. Right? And I'm sure you know that, okay, but I'm just saying that out there because salary, believe it or not, you know, is not really about fairness. It's not about, you know, paying everybody equally. What it is, it's about paying people for the value they bring to the company. And the salary is intended to reflect the perceived value that a person brings to the company. Now, that's a combination of factors. That is a combination of the objective benefits and value that you bring, but also the perceived value of your work. And so, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room there because sometimes we don't value our own work enough. You know, sometimes the value we bring to the company is significant, but we don't value ourselves enough to be able to say, look, you know what? I think that because of what I do for the company and the way I perform, I do deserve to have a higher rate of pay. And so what I would suggest to you is you go with kind of a plan of what are the benefits that you bring. Show the work that you do. Be able to say, look, these are the goals that I've achieved. These are the things that I've done for the company. This is, you know, how you know you can count on me for X, Y, and Z. And I also happen to know that there's some wiggle room here and that I could be paid significantly more than I am. And so I'm asking for a fair and equitable compensation for the value that I bring to this company. And I think X amount would be appropriate. What do you think? Right? And you just kind of lay it all out there. You kind of lay out the value that you have, that you believe that you bring to the company. You lay out a number that you think is fair, especially in light of the new information that you've gathered. You can even say that you were accidentally handed this information, but don't base the conversation on, quote unquote, what's fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mention that you have that information.
No, I'm
like
not saying
how
you
stated
to.
It
yeah.
before, just that you know that there's some wiggle room here and that this is what you bring to the company. This is your value as an employee, and you need to discuss, you know, increasing your salary to the marked amount that you believe is worth.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that you know, if anybody ever came to me as an employer and said, look, you know, I think based on the work that I'm doing for you, you know, based on, you know, the feedback you're getting from the clients that I see, based on, you know, the ways that I work to try to build the practice and the reputation, whatever, you know, I think that I deserve a raise. I would respect that. I think any employer, a decent employer, would. If somebody comes to you and says, well, I don't think it's fair. I've been here for X number of months, so I think I should. I don't care about that. I want to know what value you bring to this company. And so if you can go to your employer with a real plan that shows the value of your work and the value that you bring to the company, and you put a number that you think is respectful of that benefit that you bring, I think that's the best way to go. They might negotiate with you, but you're going to have a lot better chance at getting fair and reasonable compensation than if you just went and said, well, hey, I have this information, I don't think it's fair. Okay? Karen, thanks so much for the email, or the call, excuse me, and if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. Since we're talking about work, and we have just a couple minutes left, Alexis couldn't stay on the line, but she had a question about being a salaried employee. And she says that work is getting piled up on her. And she told management that she's overwhelmed, and they told her that she'd get help, but no help has arrived. So she's asking, how can she be happy in her job, get the work done, and be grateful? Well, the thing is, all right, as long as you're getting the work done, management has absolutely no incentive to actually get you the help that you're asking for. Because if they can get X amount done without paying any more to get it done, then any company, unfortunately, is going to do that. So, you know, and I realize there's a risk involved in this, okay, but you have to sort of decide where your limits are, you know, and focus on that. You can say, you know what, I can work, you know, these hours and get these things done.
Or I can have this project to you by this date, but I can't have that project done by any particular date until this is cleared off my desk. I could get it done if I had help.
You could say, listen, I can get these things done by this, exactly what Lisa said, by this date, but there's no way I can get this done until that date unless I were able to get help. You guys are going to have to be okay with that. But if you kill yourself getting everything done by all their deadlines, they have no incentive at all to get
help. Now, the other thing is you can go to them and say, you said we were going to get help on this team so that we can get this done. What's your timeline for that? So that also opens up the conversation that you were told something and now you need, you know, the plan to be presented. give them a little wiggle room right now. It is awfully hard to find employees at the moment with everything going on in the world, but it is certainly okay to say, you know, what's our time frame for getting somebody here to help out with this particular project?
But if they don't give you a timeline, then that gives you the right to sort of start setting some boundaries
exactly.
with this. And then I would also suggest, you know, maybe start looking for another job just in case, because there's a chance that this corporate culture is just set up to take advantage of you, and you might not be able to be happy in a place that's happy to work you to death. As long as their expectations are being met. But the only way to get their attention is by saying, look, I can get this done by this date, but I can't get that done at all unless I get the help that I need. Alexis, thanks so much for the message. And folks, if you are struggling to be more assertive, check out the resources we mentioned on today's program, especially God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is all about setting boundaries in a charitable way that allows healing in the relationship and at least allows you to be insulated from the drama. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can also learn more about our telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Now get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because there's so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.